So now that everybody has sat back down and it's quiet, that conditions me to start speaking. And I mention that just because most of what we do is conditioned by external conditions and some internal conditions. I know there's an expectation that I'm supposed to speak, and you know, you're all here for something. So, okay, those expectations, your expectations, my preparation, and the stillness of the hall, and everybody sitting, are the conditions that give rise to me having the intention and start speaking. Normally I wouldn't be speaking this time of day. I'd be quiet and resting, or something like that. But so often in life, things happen that are unexpected, unplanned for, not to our choosing even, and they are impactful in our life. And we are, we would say, conditioned by them. Our internal mindscape, how we're feeling, what we're thinking, how we kind of relate to each other, how we anticipate the future, is deeply and dramatically conditioned by something happening. And so if we're not aware that we're being conditioned by everything that's going on around us, we may lose our mind. Lose our mind. Like I was talking about in the meditation, I was pointing to the experience of something happening in the stillness of the meditation. You know, the train goes by, or something happens, somebody comes in the door, or whatever, there's some noise, and automatically your mind knows that, doesn't it? You don't have to say, okay, I'm going to hear if a train goes by and wait. You know, when the train goes by, you hear it. It just happens. If you don't know that, if you're not aware that that's happening, you may get caught up in thinking about the train and who's on the train and what if this is happening, and you know, everything else that you know about trains can come into view, and you know, you're off on a train of thought that is far from this room, right? I mean, I'm not the only one that happens to, right? Okay. So when that happens and you don't know it's happening, you're not even aware of it. Until later you might realize, oh, I've been spaced out. We just say spaced out like it's an ordinary thing. Well, it is ordinary in the sense that it's pretty familiar. It happens a lot. It's normal, if you will. But actually, we've lost our mind. At that time, our mind has gone away. We're not aware what the mind is doing. We don't even know that we have a mind. We don't know anything about it. We're out of our mind. I know that sounds dramatic, but well, it is. So what we're doing in this meditation is really learning to attend to the mind, to attend to and recognize the mind, because it is conditioned by everything that's going on around it. It's conditioned by our upbringing. It's conditioned by our beliefs, our views and opinions. And we are just along for the ride in one sense. So it, you know, is understandable that we spend a lot of our time. I mean, our whole education is about problem solving, learning how to recognize a problem, how to gather the resources to figure it out and solve that problem, and then solve it so you don't have to live with that problem anymore. And we do that. We've all learned to do that quite well in our life, with our health, with our jobs, with our careers, our relationships, our government, the economy, you know, everything. We're not that good at solving problems, but we're pretty good at solving problems. And yet, periodically, in all of our lives, things don't work like we think. They don't happen like we think they're supposed to, or something that we didn't expect happens. You know, you go to the doctors and you get a diagnosis. Whoa, I didn't know that was going to happen. Now you have to deal with it. Your whole life, how you think about your life, how you think about yourself, what you do, how you spend your time, is totally taken over by this new fact. Totally taken over. You're conditioned. Your mind is conditioned by that. And you can't just say, wait a minute, I didn't hear that. I'm going to just keep on doing what I did do. You can try to deny, you can try to avoid, you can try to minimize, but you still know. The mind always knows. You know, we may not want to know what the mind, we may not want to recognize what the mind knows, you know, because it's too painful, it's too scary, it's too humiliating, it's too out of control, it's not, it doesn't reflect who I think I am or how I should be or something like that. And so we hide from ourselves, avoid, deny, dismiss, and kind of scheme and strategize how to keep the pretense going long enough to, until the threat is over, if ever. Are you with me? I'm not just making this up. It's not just me, right? Okay. Now, why do I bother saying anything like that? Well, geez, it's been quite a winter, hasn't it, here in Seattle? It's been a really long winter. It just ended this afternoon. Did you notice? I mean, it was nice out. I mean, there was another day just a couple days ago. It was nice out. You know, let's be conditioned by that as equally as we've been conditioned by the last 6 months of something otherwise, right? It's easy to get caught in a kind of a routine or a habit or a perception of, oh, this is the way it always is. It's just, this is Seattle, hello, you know, right? But today wasn't Seattle, wasn't your idea of Seattle. Well, it really is, because we know Seattle's really nice. It's an urban myth. It's an urban, one of those urban legends that Seattle's always rainy and drizzle and, you know, but keep, that's all right, just let people believe that. If they want to, then they won't invade so much. But if we're not able to be present, fully present with our experience and how we're being conditioned by it in this moment, we may miss the afternoon. And then the opening of the heart, the opening of the mind, the kind of the brightening, the lightening, the natural enjoyment and pleasantness of the body and the mind that happens just standing outside, and it's nice. Huh? So I came here again this evening. I came in early before everyone got here, and I looked at the arrangement of the room, and the room is arranged differently than it has been in the previous years that I've come. There were less chairs set up, and there were less cushions set up, and it was all kind of aimed towards me rather than otherwise. It was kind of formally otherwise before. And I thought, they must not be expecting a very big crowd. Which is, that kind of went, ooh. You know, my mind was conditioned by what I saw, just like that. So then I was standing around and watching you all come in and greeting and a few of you and seeing some of you that I didn't know. And geez, after a while, there wasn't enough chairs. And a few people had to go get some more chairs. And then I go, ah. It's good. Like it means something about me that we need more chairs. Of course, they didn't put out so many in the beginning, so, you know, there's no more people here than there was before, but it just conditioned my mind differently because we had to go get more chairs. This is going on in our life all the time. You know, we have this expectation, or we don't even know we have this expectation. And it's either fulfilled, and we don't even notice it, or it's not fulfilled, and we react to it. Right? That's why we practice awareness. So we know if we have these expectations that are so subtle. I mean, so subtle. We don't know that we have these expectations, but when they're not met, we're bummed out. We get a little zinger of, you know, depressed or disappointed or something. And we didn't know that we had these expectations. And so we're surprised that we're feeling kind of, or we may not even know and not understand why we're feeling a little depressed or a little disappointed. But that's why we pay, that's why we're cultivating awareness. Now, you know, awareness is not, you know, there was one thing when the Buddha was asked about, you know, liberation. He said, whatever you think it is, whatever you think liberation is, it's not that. And awareness is like that. Whatever you think it is, it's not like that. It's so ordinary. You know, there's never been a day go by that the senses haven't been doing their work of receiving sounds and sights and smells and tastes and whatnot, and the mind knows them. And yet, I mean, what I mean is we've had experiences since we were in the womb. There's been experiences happening to this body-mind. And yet, so much of it has gone by and we haven't even noticed. We haven't even paid attention. I mean, I don't know why we think something else is more interesting than my life. You know, I mean, hello, this is it, right? It's not happening out there. It's happening right here. And yet, so often we're lost. We're lost in thought, we're lost in fantasies, we're lost in reaction to conditions. Our mind has been taken over by conditions. And, you know, we live in pretty interesting times. You know, I don't know if you, I'm not giving a political talk, but I'm just kind of pointing to the reality that I'm living with is things are pretty interesting. There's a lot of energy loose in the world these days that is just not channeled in familiar ways of being handled that has kind of seemed to be prevailing for most of my life. And now they're like, sheesh. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of tipsy, things are a little more shaky and feel a little more vulnerable and feel a little more apprehensive and feel a little bit like, not so confident that I can know what to expect, right? I mean, I'm not trying to convince you of anything, but I'm just saying that's the way it is for me. And this is conditioning. There's nothing wrong with me. My antennas are working fine, so to speak. You know, if you're awake and aware, you're going to notice this. If you're not, then, well, okay. Then if you're not aware, then fine. You can go on living in the habits of your, you know, cocoon or whatever it is. That's okay. But when we live in the world and we're aware and we're fully present for our life, we recognize the conditions that are affecting our well-being. Quite naturally. It's not to say this is right, this is wrong, but it's just to recognize, ooh, when conditions are like this, I relax, I feel at ease, I feel a little more pleasant, I feel a little more confident, I trust myself and others and the world and the future. And when other experiences are impacting the mind, and I'm being conditioned, or my mind is being conditioned by them, then I feel a little more tense, a little more anxious, a little more fearful, a little less confident. Is that my problem? Or is that the problem out there? Well, it's both, really, isn't it? Because if we're aware of our own mind, then we can do something about it. If we're not aware of our own mind, then we can't do anything about it. One of my teachers, Saito Utejaniya, who was here a couple years ago, I guess. Yeah, a couple years ago. He says, the mind is not yours, but you're responsible for it. And what he means is, you know, this mind is here. This mind is here, right? We all have this mind. You're all listening to what I'm saying, and the mind is understanding it. Your eyes are seeing. You know, your mind is knowing through the eye door, it's knowing through the ear door, and it's knowing through the thought door, through the mind door. The mind is knowing. Huh? But it is knowing whatever's happening. You can't get to pick and choose what the mind is going to know. You know, the mind is not yours. The mind just works. The mind does its work. Let the mind do its work. It will hear and know, it'll see and know, it'll think and know, it'll feel emotions and know, it'll feel fear and know. That's what the mind does. Let the mind do its work. But you can't make it happen. You can't stop it from happening. Really. I mean, sometimes we wish we could. We wish we could stop the mind from hearing what it's hearing. We wish we could stop the mind from feeling what it's feeling. We wish we could stop the mind from thinking what it's thinking. Right? Cannot. Cannot. The mind knows, right? So, what we're doing with this awareness is learning how to have an attitude of mind that can open to and accept and receive this present moment's experience, whatever it is, so that the mind can do its work, the mind can know this moment. Then, with whatever is known, then we have our work. Then we have our responsibility. It's our responsibility to relate to it, to deal with it, to respond to it. If we don't know what's happening, we'll react to it. We don't have any problem reacting to fearful stimuli. We just get fearful and act out our fear. Or if we, you know, if there's some stimulation or some conditioning that makes us feel depressed, then we can just go around being depressed. Yeah, we can just act it out. That's just being conditioned by and just reacting our conditioning, reacting to our conditioning. But awareness is different. Awareness asks us to, you know, as we train in awareness, it's to recognize this is what's going on and see in ourselves, why is this happening? Why is it that this particular stimulation, these conditions, cause fear? Why does it cause fear? What is it that's being threatened? What is it that, what actually happened? Did I hear something? Did I see something? Did I smell something? Did I think something that conditioned the fear? The fear. Because the fear, you know, fear is really unpleasant. It's not enjoyable. It is a really, I don't know if you've noticed how much your life, well, I won't assume anything, how much our collective life and my personal life is driven by fear. Fear of, you know, being blamed, fear of not having enough, fear of being shamed, fear of losing what we have, fear of being taken advantage of, fear of social inadequacy. Hello, I mean, that's, man, it's really unpleasant. It's really painful, isn't it? What are we going to do with that? You're going to go out there and fix everybody and everything so that they stop being fearful? They stop making you feel afraid? Cannot. You can't control the world. You can't do that, can you? You can't go out there and make your world so safe that you'll never feel fear. Cannot. You have a body. And you know, the body is going to go its way. It's going to do its thing. And some of it is going to cause you fear. It's going to condition fear in the mind. Right? Got to deal with it. Well, awareness is learning to, you know, accept and acknowledge. Oh, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. I call it the adult facts of life. Awareness points to and opens us to receive the adult facts of life. This is the way it is. We may not like it. It may not be what we expect. It may be not satisfactory. It may be really unpleasant. But you know what? We can deal with it if we're willing to acknowledge it. Right? So what I'm saying is that if we're trying to avoid, we're trying to deny, we're trying to minimize, we're trying to get away from, and we're trying to fix it out there, it's really going to be frustrating. It's really going to be unsatisfactory. You can really stress yourself out and feel like you're a total failure. Awareness asks us to look in here, and what can I do in here? What can be done with this mind that is caught and entangled in fear? What can be done with this mind that is so jerked around by, you know, depressing stimulation, depressing conditioning? Because here is where awareness resides. Here is when we can learn to open to, learn to acknowledge, oh, this is the way it is for me, and care about that. This is really important. You know, when we see that we're suffering, when we see that we're, you know, caught in fear, caught in anger, insecurity, anxiety, all those things. Or maybe we're just caught, hey, you know, somebody has pointed out to me several times, actually, when I'm talking about unpleasant, aversive things, I really know the terrain of that a lot. It's very familiar to me. What I'm not so familiar with and don't hardly ever mention is the other major influence in our life, desire. You know, if you're just caught in wanting a better this, a bigger that, a pay raise, a better car, a nicer, newer, better spiritual experience, that's equally unsatisfying. Okay, whew. Got that obligatory desire in there. Back to aversion. Okay. Seems to be my predilection. Sorry about that. So what are we going to do about this? Well, you know, as I mentioned in the title of the, or the topic of the evening, it's like trouble ahead. You know, trouble ahead, trouble behind. You know, it's all around us. If you see it, there's some people going through life like, I don't remember what that person in fiction is. You know, everything is just la-di-da. It's quite nice. It's quite nice. And there's a lot of conditions in life that are really nice. I mean, actually, let's just step back from everything I've just been saying. Let's just step back and just do a quick scan, a survey of all of humanity on the face of the earth. There's a lot, right? We're all in the top 1%. We are the 1%. I know we don't like to identify with that 1%. We have this, there's this other 1% that we want to kind of rant about. But we're in the 1%. You know, we have as good as it gets, you know, for the vast majority of humanity that's ever lived on the face of this earth. Whew. What's all that negativity I was talking about? All that fear and anxiety and depression and despair and hopelessness and where's that coming from? That doesn't make sense, does it? Here we're living at the top of the heap and we can't enjoy it. Think about that. Maybe the heap isn't to be enjoyed. That's interesting. Anyway, if we're not yet satisfied with living at the top of the heap, I think we all understand that it isn't because there's something wrong with the heap. You know, it's something to be done with the mind, with the heart, that can look at this and say, wait a minute. I think they call this negativity bias. You know, where you have, you look out there and you see 9 things that are great, one thing that isn't, you say, God, it's terrible. You know, can't get that last 1% or 10%, whatever it is. But, well, this is what awareness does. Awareness keeps showing us how we're seeing things that cause us suffering. Not so much to go out and change the thing so that we don't suffer, but to recognize our own suffering and change our attitude. Work on our attitude. Work on the way that we understand ourselves in relationship to this condition. So much of the time we want things to be pleasant, right? We scheme and strategize our whole life to have pleasant experiences, pleasant physical experiences. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to be hungry. We don't want to be too hot. We don't want to be too cold. We don't want to be too, and we want pleasant sounds and pleasant sights and pleasant smells and pleasant thoughts and pleasant emotions and pleasant relationships and pleasant finances and pleasant retirement and pleasant house and pleasant, 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 pleasant. Why do you think we're working so hard? Really? Is it to get unpleasant experiences? No. No. None of us are working as hard as we're working, the hours we're working, doing all that we have to do to create an unpleasant life, but it kind of has that effect sometimes. So we scheme and strategize and we use our time, we use our energy, we use our knowledge, we use our problem solving to seek and acquire pleasant experience. And we've had a lot. But it's never ending, isn't it? You can lose it in a minute. You remember, I think it's 6 years ago now, time goes by. 6 years ago, that community of men and women and others just living on the shore of northern Japan, and they had their whole life. Their whole life was there. You know, their whole family structure and social structure and the banks and the car dealers and their homes and their farms and everything. Their life was just like our life. You know, pretty much just like our life. Living on the shore, living near the ocean, and doing as best they can, and have established their security and their way of life with each other, and it was fine until the earth goes and the water goes and it washes in to their village and it carries the village out. And what they had known, what they had acquired, what they had striven for to provide this security, this pleasantness, this safety, this sense of community, this sense of being, you know, grounded and just, you know, the goodness of life, of human life, was gone. Wiped out. You know, we in Seattle here have a similar situation. You know, I don't know if you know about it, but that little earth fault out there a little bit. Where is it? It's out there somewhere. You know? It's just a matter of time. Maybe not in our lifetime, but isn't that it? We hope that we can get out before the tide comes. But I digress here. You know, so say you were living there in that Japanese village, and you know, you were the one standing on top of the building with the camera, and you saw it, you know, watching it all wash in, wash out, and then when the waters kind of settled down where you could walk back down on the street, how would you feel right then? Just imagine how you'd feel. Like, totally, like just stunned. I mean, just like, what? Oh my Buddha, oh my goodness, oh jeepers, or something. It's like, wow. And then probably some anxiety, some fear, some apprehension, confusion, terror maybe, right? I mean, just reading about it, it's like, oh my, you know. So there, that's how you, let's assume that we have some sense of how you'd be feeling at that point. Who would you want to see? Who would you want to meet coming down the street? Your banker? Car salesman? Not that there's anything wrong with bankers or car salesmen, but, you know, it's not that, is it? Mostly we'd want to meet somebody who we could connect with, that we could feel some empathy from, that could resonate with our and connect with our anxiety and fear and craziness and just aghastness and just whatever. Somebody who was aware as you were, right? And not denying how they felt, and able to acknowledge what just happened or what is happening at that very time, and could hold it with some kind of understanding, some truthfulness, some energy to respond, kind enough to share what they had with you as needed, somebody who understood what you're going through, what the conditions were now for all of us. Somebody who had a tremendous amount of energy to kind of get into gear and respond to the situation rather than just being caught in a stunned reaction and feeling helpless, hopeless. So these qualities of the person that we'd like to meet, kindness, energetic, wise, compassionate, patient, generous, loving, able to acknowledge the truth, being grounded, creative. These are the best contingency plans that any of us can have for the trouble ahead. Because we can see that getting a newer car, that's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. Getting another job, that's not going to do it. Because all that can be wiped out instantly. But what can't be wiped out? Right here. This heart. This heart, this awareness is going to be there for everything that happens. Get to know this. Get to know this heart. Get to know this awareness, its qualities, its reactive habits, its conditioned reactivity. That's where we suffer. Because even with all that we have at the top of the heap, we're still not settled here. Still not at ease here. So what happens when the tsunami comes into our life? And I don't mean a water tsunami. It can be a financial tsunami. It can be a health tsunami. It can be a political tsunami. It can be an economic tsunami. It can be any kind of tsunami. Something that just upends your life in a way that you did not expect. It makes it very difficult to deal with because you don't have any strategy, you don't have the resources, external resources to deal with it. And we all, you know what? Now, interesting, we might think, yeah, that happened to them, too bad. The Buddha, he was pretty savvy guy. You know, he said, there's pain in life. We know that, there's pain in life. We've all experienced a lot of physical pain, emotional pain. But he said there's a lot of insecurity in life too. And it's not your fault that you feel insecure. It's because things are unstable. Conditions are unstable. They don't last. Whether it's environmental conditions or your personal health conditions or relationship conditions, things are unstable. And it's not because you didn't get your retirement built up enough. It isn't because you didn't do enough workshops to fix your relationship. It isn't because you didn't do enough retreats to get enlightened enough or anything like that. It's just like, this is the way it is, no matter how much of that you've got or done. Things are still unstable. Awakening and awareness doesn't change the truth. It just helps us become aware of it so that we can acknowledge it to ourselves and say, right. No matter if I get everything I want, you know, let me run this by you. I had this assumption for a long time, and it still sounds reasonable to me. And I'm just going to just check it out with you. It seemed that I was taught, and I grew up with this understanding that if I could get what I want, then I'd be happy. Doesn't that sound pretty good? If you could get what you want, everything you want, then you'd be happy? What's wrong with that? Right? Well, what's wrong with that is it isn't true. It's an assumption. And if you look at your life very carefully, you'll see that you have wanted a lot. You have pursued it forever, and you have gotten it. Are you happy yet? No. Because there's something else that you want and are currently pursuing and hoping to get, so then you'll be happy. And when you get it, there'll be something else. They say, the Buddha said, that trying to satisfy this desire, this endless desire, is like trying to quench your thirst by drinking salt water. There's a moment of, there. And then the thirst is even more. So, if wanting more only leads to wanting more, which makes it very difficult to be content, happy, satisfied, at ease, non-fearful, because you'll have everything. Once you have everything you need, what's the fear? Right? Okay, well, things change. So this is the work of awareness. The work of awareness is to recognize this is what's going on in our life. We're caught in this endless pursuit of things that don't really fulfill the promise that they seem to have offered. It's called desire. It doesn't seem to fulfill its promise of satisfying us, or making us happy, or making us feel safe, or making us feel secure, or making us feel whatever, worthy, purposeful, valuable. What's the option? Not that those things are bad or wrong. This is our life. This is human life. But how we relate to it? Are we aware that we're doing this? Are we aware of the setting ourselves up for the potential of feeling disappointed, being driven by fear, being caught in endless desires? Do we know that from ourselves? Only if you're aware. Only if you're aware. Then you can see, oh, this is happening. This is what I'm doing. Here I am, chasing again something that is not going to offer. It's not going to fulfill what it promises to offer. That's a fact of life. That's an adult fact of life that's really hard to acquire. You can hear it. I can say it again. You can read it in the book. But we don't have it in here. It's not in our heart. And we still keep holding out, yeah, but what if, and maybe I'm different. That's why we miss the Buddha's teaching a lot. We miss it because we think, we hear these teachings and we say, yeah, but that's the way it was for them then. Or that's the way it is for those people, not for me. I can get it together. We've got this kind of, assumption about ourselves that we're kind of omnipotent or that we're invulnerable sometimes. Sometimes. And then there's some of us that are on the other end of the spectrum. I'm totally hopeless. I can't do a damn thing. You know, I'm totally victimized by everybody and everything, and it's all their fault. Well, that's some of us land in that spot. And that's not true either. So why am I talking about this? Because I'm pointing to, experiences that we all have, I think, I'm assuming. You know, I mean, I've talked to enough of you, enough to know that this is not uncommon. What I'm talking about is not uncommon. And we've all, as I said, we're all at the top of the heap, living in that 1%, and we still have this common experience. Not yet happy, suffering, fearful, driven by endless desires, and I can't fix it. But I know what can. Because if we don't see it, if we don't see how this is happening in ourselves with awareness, if we don't understand it, then we'll just keep acting the way we've been conditioned. And that's what awareness does. Awareness wakes us up to our conditioning. Deepest levels, you know, subtle levels, but gross levels of conditioning. So that we can have some ability to acknowledge, oh, this is the way it is for me. And rather than being caught in a habitual conditioned reactivity, we're able to respond with a wise compassion. That's why we practice. So that we can understand, this is what's going on. This is why I'm suffering. And then respond with wisdom, understanding, and compassion for our own suffering, knowing at the same time that everybody else has the same kind of conundrum. If you know your mind really well, you know everybody's mind. Maybe not the content, you know, don't have to be a mind reader, I don't mean that. I just mean our minds all work similarly. So when you know your own mind, you can have compassion for other people. Not can have, you will absolutely have. Because you have to know your own mind, you have to have compassion for yourself. Because it's really painful in here. You know? Not just the things I've mentioned so far, but that and more. It's painful in here. And as we train in awareness and open and practice awareness, we'll come to know this. And we'll come to deal with it in a way that relieves us and releases us, eventually, from this pain. Not just relief, release. And when you know that, when you've seen that from in yourself, from your own practice, from your own awareness and your own understanding, then you know how to respond to others' suffering. So developing the contingency plans for all of the inevitable trouble ahead, trouble that's here, let alone trouble ahead, is to train in awareness. That's it. That's the answer. Now you know. Unfortunately, it's not that easy. It's hard to even have faith that that might be so. You know, to faith, you know, you listen to me, you read a book, you read dozens of books, maybe you've done dozens of retreats, and it's still hard to have faith that awareness is really going to do that, isn't it? I mean, you're not here because you're just curious. There's something else going on, you know. Right? It's hard to have faith. Well, maybe it's easy to have faith, but it's hard to commit to fulfilling or verifying our faith. That takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of resolve. It takes a lot of steadiness of aspiration, steadiness of energy, steadiness of commitment, willingness to see again. Familiar, 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 familiar. Right? That's, I don't know if you saw, I had this handout for you that's up on the desk there. It's about the contingency plans for the trouble ahead. Here, 10 of them. And on the other side is practices for developing these contingency plans. So if you haven't got one, you can try to pick one up if there's enough. This is what awareness is. Awareness is training the heart, training the heart, training the mind in being willing to look, being willing to open, out of compassion, out of interest. Not just to get rid of pain, difficulties. You know, if that's your attitude, I just want to get rid of this depression. I just want to get rid of it. Well, unfortunately, that's not the noble enough aspiration. That's just going to get you more trouble. So we have to start with, you know, a little bit of humility, a little bit of sincerity, a little bit of faith, a little bit of effort. Be willing to do a little bit. And without expectation, just to see, you know, just to see what will happen. Then maybe the mind can reveal something of itself to you. Yeah. There's a lot of techniques out there for, you know, moving the mind around. you know, making the mind do all kinds of gymnastics, mental gymnastics, spiritual gymnastics of one sort or another. But releasing the mind from the grip of these challenges is not gymnastics. This takes real steadiness, real commitment, you know, kind of a humility and a sincerity and a purposefulness and a continuity. I think it's the continuity. I was going to speak about resolve. This one of these contingency plans is resolve. And resolve is it's kind of a interesting quality of mind. You know, we all have some capacity, some level of resolve or resoluteness in our life. We wouldn't be where we are if we didn't have some of that. You couldn't bake bread if you didn't have some resoluteness to hang in there for the 2 or 3 hours that it takes to do it, right? You'd start, walk off, forget, come back 3 hours later and the dough's all over the floor. You know, it's kind of expanded beyond the bowl. So you gotta have some kind of keep it together and stay on task. Liberating the mind from suffering never ends. Never ends. Think of that. What kind of resolve is it going to take? What kind of resolve would it take to do something that never ends? Can't be in a hurry, right? I mean, what's the hurry? Yeah? So think about that. Because life is still happening. It's always going on, right? It's not like we're going to wrap it up, you know, and then get to enjoy the rest of our life. I mean, that's it. The rest of life is the rest of life, you know, and what we do now just prepares us for the rest of it. It's not like we finish the job and then it's a breeze. We finish the job every time that we're aware. That's all we can do in that moment. In this moment, all we can do is be aware. We can't be aware of anything other than what we're aware of. We can't, and if we miss a moment of awareness and we just kind of space out in la la land, well, you can't ever recover that. You can't go back and do that one again. Life is not a rehearsal for anything. This is it. It's just a one time through. Boom. Each moment. So that's what we're working with. We're working with that kind of resolve that just says, I'm willing to try to be aware in each moment. It's easy to say, yeah, I want to do that. I can do that. I'm going to try. But there's so many moments that we're not aware that we easily get defeated sometimes. So we have to be, just know that that's what we're up against. But, yeah, when we are committed, when we recognize our own suffering, then we'll get resolute. Then we'll get resolute. So I've been talking for, I don't know, a while. And maybe you have some questions. If you do, I'd be happy to entertain them. Or if you just have some comments, that's also good. How's it going out there? So I've been talking and you've been being conditioned by what you've heard. Well, how did it condition you? Yeah, so you have to... Say it again?
You reminded me to be present.
Yes.
Right here, right now, everything is just fine.
No, wait. Wait.
Wrong.
Now, no. Half right. Yes, I'm reminding you to be aware. Be present. Be present, be aware, to know what's going on. And not to assume that everything's going to be right. It's going to be, oh, just fine. Well, you know, I've been talking about some of the things that we don't normally think of as fine. You know, life is painful, it's, you know, fearful and terrifying, and you know, we have some emotional, well, we have some conditioning that doesn't allow us to just consider everything is just fine, right? So we have to see that conditioning. It's good to see it, you know, but in the time that we're caught in it, the time that we're caught in what's going on right now is I'm terrified. Yeah, I'm anxious, I'm fretful, I'm, you know, what about, and what if, and oh my God, and that's what I'm aware of, I'm present, you know, that's not fine. That's not fine. You know, because we're caught up in it, we're entangled in it. So being aware of something is very different than being entangled in it. So now we have this fine line of, can we be aware of something going on in our heart, in our life, in our experience, and not be entangled in it? Because, you know, being afraid is one experience. You know what it's like? It's like... And then thinking about your fear, and I'm afraid because, you know, they said this and they did that, and oh man, the stock market went this way, and somebody did something in Washington, D.C. today that, you know, and I'm afraid. So we're thinking about it. Both being afraid and then thinking about it and rationalizing it and trying to explain it and figure it out is very different than being aware of fear. Being aware of fear says, oh yeah, we see the reaction in the body, we see the activity in the mind, we see all those thoughts, we see that, and we go, wow, this is fear. Huh, fear has arisen in the mind, in the heart, and it's like this. Whew, okay, wow. It's still, you know, fear is present. Fear is present. We're not present with it, meaning we're afraid, but we're present with it, aware of it. Very different. Being present with sometimes is like being present with it, within it, caught in it. But awareness is kind of extracting this little, some piece that goes, wow, this is what's going on. Thinking is going on, feeling fear and all the activities of fear in the body, in the mind, in the heart is being known. Wow. And when we learn about the nature of fear, we can step back from it. We don't have to be caught in it. We will at times. We'll get caught in it and we'll be able to step back from it. But eventually we learn the nature of fear. And once you know the nature of fear, you won't be caught in it so frequently for so long. You'll still get caught for a while, but not for so long and not so often. Gradually we learn to release it, or to the understanding of its nature releases us from being entangled in it. Like that.
Mm. And then in that space, how to not, you know, it almost feels sometimes like it's harder with the sensitivity there. To
yeah. Yeah, so the question is, how do you deal with, you know, sometimes you're going along and it seems to be getting worse. You know, it's like the fear is getting more intense and more often, and, you know, it seems like things are going backwards and... Well, you know, I don't know who said this. It might have been Jack Kornfield. You know, self-knowledge is not always good news. Right? You know, and when we open the mind and the heart, you don't just open to peace, love, calm, joy, faith, oh, ecstasy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. The flip side of that is agony, agony, fear, depression, despair, hopelessness, meaninglessness. Okay, so when we open, you can be sure it's going to be both. But you bring up a point that as we acknowledge whatever level of, you know, fear or anxiety or whatever, and we learn to be with it, then we come to some understanding, and then the mind is less caught up in it, and the mind becomes more aware, and then it becomes more sensitive. The mind becomes more sensitive. It notices subtler manifestations of fear and anxiety and depression and joy and ecstasy. And so there's a gradual deepening into the subtlety of each of these, of all of these different mental states. And sometimes it can feel, I think you didn't use this word, but you were inclining towards or implying that it's overwhelming. There are times when the power of awareness is so good, or the development of awareness is so powerful, that it will see what you cannot yet open to and handle in a balanced way, right? Mindfulness is a tool. It's like a magnifying lens. And, you know, it's like looking at something through a magnifying lens. It's like you don't understand what it is you're seeing. It's kind of overwhelming, or it's just like, you know, so sometimes it happens with the mind. At that point, then I would say, if I was responding to you saying, I'm totally overwhelmed with this, I'm totally caught up in it. And being overwhelmed in any of these emotional or mental states is to be entangled in it in a way that you cannot objectify it. You're just totally subjectively in it, caught up in it. Then it's skillful to find something else to do mindfully with awareness, so that you turn your attention away from that particular heart state or mind state or memory or whatever it is, emotion, and you turn it to, for example, present moment sense contact. Know that you're seeing what you're seeing. Know that you're hearing what you're hearing. Know that you're feeling sensations of the body, what you're feeling, rather than the interior mindscape. Huh? Now, the reason I say that is we want to keep the continuity of awareness present. We want to keep being aware. You don't want to just go off and distract yourself. Okay? So you want to be aware, but you turn to something that we call a neutral experience. So you can recharge your batteries and you can feel refreshed. You get a little distance from the overwhelming force in the mind. You back up, you go over here, and you have a cup of tea, and you go watch the sunset, and you kind of relax and kind of de-stress and recharge your batteries. And then later you can go back and take another look at this after the heart and mind has been fortified, refreshed. So retreating or withdrawing from an overwhelming situation is wisdom. First, acknowledge first that this is wisdom that understands there isn't enough awareness here to actually deal with this. I need to recharge my batteries. I need to refresh the mind. I need a little more information. I need whatever. And you go do that. And it's not retreating. It's not running away out of aversion or fear or failure or something like that. No, it's out of wisdom. Okay? Then you can go back. And it'll take many times. It may take many times to engage, withdraw, take a look at, withdraw, so that you can come to know the nature of this overwhelming force in the mind. Yeah. This is where most of awareness practice takes place. First we have to get a little momentum going. Once we get a little momentum going, then we see, oh my God, this is the way it is. And we don't have enough wisdom yet to kind of let go of it. So we're caught in, I see it even clearer. I even see it with a magnified lens of the mind, and I can't let go. But gradually, eventually, we grow in wisdom, and wisdom gets the upper hand, so to speak, and wisdom will relieve us from being overwhelmed and entangled, and eventually will release us from it.
Sounds nice.
Huh?
Sounds nice.
It's not just theory. For anybody who's practiced or done retreats or has kept an ongoing meditation for, a few years, they keep coming back. Why? Because they experience this. Even if they still suffer. I mean, of course, we still do. But we keep coming back because we get a taste, even in a short time, we get a taste of this release, this relief. A little bit of awareness gives you a little bit of relief. A little more awareness gives you a little more relief, and a lot of awareness gives you a lot of relief. So we get that. We taste it. We taste this relief from our suffering, from being entangled in stuff. We just get, oh, okay. Whew. And we see it. We know it. Maybe you can't articulate it like that, but there's something that keeps us... We say, you get hooked by the Dharma. You know, once you taste the Dharma, the way things are, and you can get this kind of relief, then it just keeps... You can't get the hook out. You know, it's like a fish on a line. The Dharma is... You got to follow the Dharma now. You know, even though it does seem to take you into deeper waters and more intense suffering, and that's the way it is. Got time for one more comment, if there's anybody. Yeah, room.
So, fear is a signal to take action when you hear the lion growling outside your tent. You should
stay in the tent.
Yeah. And you've been talking as if fear is just a mental construct, and there's nothing to do. So, if you see a political thing and it makes you fearful, maybe that's the thing you're going to take action. So, can you talk about the balance or whatever?
So I've been talking about fear and other emotional or mental states that are unpleasant because they arise. But they arise and we get entangled in them because we don't understand them. We don't understand the nature of fear. We don't understand the nature of shame. We don't understand the nature of anxiety. We don't understand the nature of depression. So we get caught in them. So it's the lack of wisdom, lack of understanding, that needs to be addressed. So when I say that, oh, fear, it is a warning. You know, it does threaten something about you. It might be your life, it might be your sense of security, it might be your sense of yourself, your retirement or whatever. Okay, yeah, it's threatening something. But where, why, how is that working? So as you pay attention with awareness to the nature of fear, you can see how it works. You can begin to understand how you get hooked with fear. You know, and you know, there are those in our midst who are masters at manipulating people with fear. Masters. And you know, if you're not able to see your own fear and understand how it's happening, you will be jerked around. So that's why awareness is what's going to reveal to you, if you're interested in understanding the nature of fear, and you just look at it and say, now I'm feeling a lot of fear. What is going on here? You know, I heard this, I saw that, I felt this. Yeah, and why am I so... Okay. Just keep watching. Just keep watching that, and you'll come to understand the nature of fear more. It is a cautionary, you know, threat. You know, has been for humanity from the get-go, but now in our, I don't know if kind of advanced and developed world of the 21st century, living in Seattle, we don't have to worry about lions, you know. But we got to worry about other things, right? Lying. So, right? They're not on four legs. So, it still is, I mean, I guess some of our fears are, need to be understood. Why is it that we fear what we fear? You know, if it's going to end your life like it's a saber-toothed tiger, that's one thing. If it's some news report that you hear that's causing you fear, that ought to be looked at. What is it that's actually getting hooked there? Well, an evening's, our evening together, the time is up. What an introduction to the day tomorrow. Actually, this is just the hook. You know, tomorrow we'll be practicing to learn how to disentangle. And you can bring all of your conditioning, you can bring all of your fears, you can bring all your anxiety, you can bring all your depression, you can bring it all here. And we're just going to take a look at it tomorrow and try to begin to understand it. You know, I'm not promising any great relief or release, but if you can learn a few tools and you know, kind of share what your experience is and get some pointers on how to work with it, you may find that, oh, there's some way of training the heart, training the mind with awareness to offer some relief and possibly some release, and to give you some confidence in dealing with the inevitable trouble ahead. Okay? So if you want to come tomorrow, we'll be doing more sitting, we'll be doing plenty of talking, you'll have all the time in the world to ask questions, you know, and try to understand more of the nature of awareness and the nature of suffering. Okay. Trouble. Trouble ahead if you don't practice awareness. Thank you.